And we're just so proud of them. We've actually already mentioned it, but it's just been awesome. You know, some of us saw some of the Facebook posts and also the email updates, but it's just tremendous what's happening. I think some people were even getting healed at LAX before they left. And this, to hear about those salvations that happened is just awesome, and we're really grateful for what God is doing. So let's join our hearts in prayer. Father, we just thank you, thankful for the opportunity to be together as a church family this morning. And we just continue to lift up the Japan team, and we thank you for the great works that you have already done through them with the ministry that happened through the basketball camps and also just the personal connections from the past years, the two salvations that we heard about, the seeds that were planted, the healings that happened as they prayed for people, even at LAX and the people that they prayed for in Japan. We just pray your continued pouring out of your spirit, and we continue to pray for revival in the nation of Japan. Lord, you are able to do it, and we pray to that end that you are doing great things in that nation, and we just continue to pray blessings. Bless this time that we have together. Speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the title of today's message is Get Out of the Darkness and Into the Light. And if you could turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1 and 1 John chapter 2, we'll be there. I think it would be helpful if you open it up in your Bible since we're going to be crossing two chapters. I wanted to start out with a little story that I think will help us connect a little bit with this passage. So last week, I was putting my 5-year-old son Silas to sleep. And so, you know, we turned out the lights and everything. And then Silas said to me, Daddy, it's too dark. I can't see anything. And so, you know, I tried to appease him and tell him that that's, you know, it's dark because he needs to go to sleep. But I decided to kind of go along with that. And so I told him to close his eyes for a couple of seconds. And so he closed his eyes for a couple of seconds. And then I said, open up your eyes. And then he opened up his eyes and said, can you see better? And he said, yes. And he was pretty amazed. And so I told him, do it again. I said, close your eyes, a couple of seconds. Open your eyes, can you see better? And he said, yes. And he was amazed that he was seeing better. He was, and it was dark. This wasn't how he was seeing before. And we all understand what was happening, right? His eyes were getting adjusted to the darkness so that he could see. And I wanted to just share that little silly story because today's passage, Apostle John is speaking to a group of Christians, and he's kind of telling them the same thing about darkness. You know, there's darkness all around them. They're living in a wicked city. And he's like, you could end up getting just adjusted to the darkness and start feeling like it's normal and start feeling like it's getting better when actually it's still darkness that surrounds you. And Apostle John speaks into this, into the life of these Christians. I think God has that word for us. Are we just getting used to the darkness that's around us? Getting used to the culture? Getting used to the sin that everyone else is doing? And we're just kind of grown accustomed to it? Maybe even getting sucked into it? Here's what Apostle John says to this group of Christians. All right, 1 John chapter 1, we're going to read from verse 5, and then we're going to read into chapter 2, verse 2. All right, so here it is up on the PowerPoint in the NIV translation. So, can you read it out loud with me as we go through this? This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. So just start in verse 5, and it says, God is light. I think many of us, most of us, almost all of us are familiar with that, that God is light. And he's not just a dim light, and he's not just a really bright light either, right? There's the next portion of this sentence says, in him there is no darkness at all. That's the God that we worship. And then Apostle John goes on to speak to this group of Christians, and he says, if we claim to have fellowship with him, which we do, right? Those of us who are Christians in this room, we claim to have fellowship, communion, relationship with Jesus. And we claim to have fellowship with him, and yet walk in the darkness. We lie and do not live out the truth. So we say, no, we're not being honest with ourselves. If we claim to be Christians, have fellowship with God, but we are in sin, and there's sin, and there's sin that surrounds us, and we kind of get sucked into it, then we might even be lying to ourselves. Now, I was talking about darkness, and most likely it was very clear to those original readers that he's talking about sin, the sin issues that they were facing. But if it wasn't clear in verse 6, it is abundantly clear in verse 8. Verse 8 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. He was saying to them, to these group of Christians that Apostle John was writing to, saying, listen, take a honest look at your hearts. Don't lie to yourselves. Take an honest look at your hearts. Is there darkness that's there? Are you growing accustomed to all the darkness that surrounds? Maybe even getting sucked into it. Take a step back and take an honest look at your hearts. That's point number one when we're talking about get out of darkness and into the light. Point number one, take an honest look at our hearts for sin. Some of us might read this and say, you know, well, this is basic Christianity, Christianity 101. I believed this a long time ago. I really want to press the point that Apostle John was writing to a Christian church, a church that already responded to the gospel, already had confessed their sins to receive salvation in Jesus Christ, but he really made the point to make this point in multiple verses and making it abundantly clear to them about this call, about confessing their sin and not getting accustomed to the darkness that surrounds them. Now, I wanted to say the reason why he needed to do this was because, you know, they lived in a really wicked city. Many scholars would say that this letter was originally written to the church of Ephesus, then was circulated around to other Christian churches. The city of Ephesus, whenever I think about the city of Ephesus, I always think about Los Angeles. It was a major international city, but it was filled with greed. All the business that was going on in Ephesus, it was filled with false teaching. It was also filled with idol worship. It was actually known for a temple that was the prominent temple at the time. And so there was all of these sins that were swirling about in Ephesus. And so Apostle John felt he needed to write it to the Christian church. Once that already responded to the gospel and said, listen, take a step back. After you've been a Christian for a long time, maybe even, but take a step back and take an honest look at your heart for sin. This was Apostle John's word to the Christian church at the time. Now, Apostle John, after he made this exhortation to them, he goes on, not just for them to take an honest look at their own hearts, but then he says this in verse 10. Can we read verse 10 again out loud together? It says, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. So we just read in a couple of verses, he said, listen, don't lie to yourselves. He said, we need to take an honest look at our hearts for sin. But the situation with those original readers was they were actually getting confronted by God himself. God's word was speaking to them about their sin. It was sometimes, the truth is, we could take an honest look at our hearts, but we were blinded to what was happening. There's blind spots in our lives. We got so accustomed to everything that's going on in the world that even if we took an honest look at our hearts, we'd be like, oh, I'm good. You know, there's nothing that I need to confess. But Apostle John was speaking to these Christians and say, listen, it's got to be about God himself taking an honest look at our hearts. Let's weigh our lives against the word of God, the truth of the word of God, the behavior, the lifestyle, the Christian living that the word of God calls us to. Let me put it like this for point number two, getting out of the darkness and into the light. Ask God to take an honest look at our hearts for sin. 2 weeks ago, on Monday, so almost 2 weeks ago, I really felt like that the Lord was burning this word into my heart and to share this morning with you. You know, in the course of my life, and I've been on this earth for 40 years, in ministry for 18 years, I've seen, and I know some people, and I know some of you have seen people and know people, great kingdom potential. God wants to use their lives for great impact. But I've seen people, and I know some people, that they got swallowed up in the darkness. I want to keep pressing the point. This was written to Christians, this passage. And I'm speaking to mostly Christians this morning. But sometimes we could get just swallowed up in the way the culture is. We want to be relevant to the world. And we become so relevant to the world that we get swallowed up by the way that the world is living and all the sin that's in the world, and we can end up getting sucked into it and end up in a place. And I just wanted to say this morning, just the reality is there's some people that I know that I've seen that got so sucked into it that they lost everything because of sin. And when I say everything, their marriages, their families, their jobs, their ministries, their reputation, everything. Their lives just imploded. It was just getting darker and darker and darker and darker until it just couldn't get any more darker, and they lost everything. First, I want to say this morning, if you feel that you've been swallowed up in darkness, there is still hope for you. I want to make sure to say that, because that is the gospel message. There is still hope for you. But the majority of the people that are in this room, I mean, we are in church because we have not been swallowed up in darkness. But listen, Apostle John was writing to Christians, a group of Christians, and this was being circulated amongst the other Christian churches, because he was calling them, listen, it's so dark in this world, and don't get sucked up by all of those things, and make sure you take a step back and examine our hearts against the Word of God. And then, not just that, because sometimes we could, as this pastor is saying, deceive ourselves or lie to ourselves, then ask God. Let's ask God this morning to examine our hearts. Let's go to God's Word. Let's say, God, what's your truth? What's your truth about my life? I open up my heart to you to examine my heart, because I don't want to be swallowed up in darkness. And that's a trick of the enemy. But that's why I feel like God has been speaking to me this personally in my own life, and I feel like God wants to speak to us this morning about this. So after Apostle John says all of this, but he gives the way forward, right? 1 John 1:9. Maybe one of the most famous passages, one of the most famous verses in Scripture, one of the first verses that we memorize, right, as Christians. Here's what he says. He said, this is the way forward. Take an honest look at your life, at your heart. Ask God to take an honest look. And then 1 John 1:9. Can we read this out loud together again? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. This is good news. He said, even if you were feel like we swallowed up in darkness, there's still hope. This is good news. This is the good news. But I want to point us to this one phrase. He is faithful and just. I think we're used to hearing and singing about God's faithfulness. We just sang about God's faithfulness this morning, right? And I think we're used to God being faithful. He's always going to be there for us. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. He's not going to leave us in our sins. He's going to always help us out in our sins. And that's true. And that needs to be said and sung about often. But it also says here that he's just. And we celebrate that he's just. Right? That justice is going to be served with our God. And so, as he's just, our sin, when we start just merging in with the rest of the world, someone needs to pay the penalty for that sin. Right? And so that's why Apostle John says this in verse 1. Someone needs to pay the penalty for it. So he says this. Can we read this out loud together? But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Advocate there, the Greek word there, refers to someone who pleads the case to the judge. Jesus pleads our case to the judge, to the Father. Maybe a good illustration there would be a lawyer. A lawyer will go and plead our case to the judge, to the Father. But here's the problem. We're guilty, right? There's sin that's in our lives. There's darkness that's in our lives. So when Jesus goes and pleads our case to the judge, we're still found guilty. That's why there's verse 2. Let's read verse 2. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. So he is the atoning sacrifice. So Jesus is the one that pays the penalty for our sins. We're called to this confession, and then Jesus is the one that pays the penalty for our sins. Let me put it like this for point number 3. Confess our sins to have the penalty paid by Jesus. Now, when you read that, that's probably a no-brainer, like, you know, Christianity 101 again. But again, I want to point out that this was written to a group of Christians. And I wanted to kind of illustrate this by a little story that happened to me this week that I think helps convey what Apostle John was trying to get across to this group of Christians, and I think what God is trying to get across to us. So this past week, we were at Vaughn's Supermarket, and so we're, you know, just doing some grocery shopping, and we had our less than two-year-old baby daughter with us, Jubilee. And so we bought some Eggo waffles, and so we gave the Eggo waffles, the box, to Jubilee, and, you know, did the shopping and everything around, and then, you know, and brought it up to the conveyor belt to get paid for it. In the process, Jubilee, she's less than 2 years old, she ripped up the box. I mean, the whole box was just completely destroyed. But still, you know, I mean, you know, we were the ones responsible for it, so I still put it on the conveyor belt, you know, to be paid for. And so when the cashier gets to that box, you know, she sees that it's all ripped up, and she looks at me, and she said, "This box will be $1.50 off because it's like this, you know." And so, as I was, you know, meditating on this passage, 1 John 1:9, I thought I'd better confess our wrongdoing. So I told her, "No, actually, you know, this, you know, my daughter did that, you know." So, and she politely but promptly added $1.50 back to my bill, right? And I wanted to say, you know, and that's a transaction that happens in the world. We all understand that. That's the way it goes. We celebrate that, right? That if you confess your wrongdoing in the world, you pay the penalty. We need that in this world, right? People are doing wrong, they need to pay the penalty. We do wrong, we need to pay the penalty. We like that. We understand that, accept that, and even celebrate that. But the transaction that Apostle John's talking about here is a transaction of the upside-down kingdom of Jesus, where we confess our wrongdoing to God, and he's the one that pays our penalty. That's good news. That's great news. And when I say that, and as we say that, and that, as it was, that's what's, you know, passed out to the original Christians, you know, to the Church of Ephesus, then distributed and circulated around, this is good news to them, and we're talking about it this morning. We read it in the Bible, and you would think, well then, why aren't more people, or let's say, why aren't all people doing this and confessing the sins, getting it paid for but for free by Jesus? He's paying the penalty of it. We get cleaned up. We get cleaned up so we get filled with the Holy Spirit and go out and do the works of God. Why aren't more people, all people, engaging in this? And I just want to say, you know, we have a real enemy. We have a real enemy that is trying to get us used to the darkness, the things that are happening in our lives, the things that's happening in society, and just getting us, you know, accustomed to it. Hey, be culturally relevant. Don't be a prudish Christian. You know, let's be open-minded about this world and the things that are happening. Don't condemn others. Not that we shouldn't be condemn others, but the point is that we could get so accustomed to things in this world and so accustomed to darkness and to sin that we miss this really fundamental point, right, that I'm bringing up. It's Christianity 101, but that we are taking a step back and looking at our hearts, taking a step back and asking God to search our hearts, taking a step back and saying, God, I was wrong with this. Please forgive me for this and clean me up and let Jesus pay the penalty for our sins. God's speaking this to us. I've been at this church for 18 years. This church has been around for 27 years. Never before have we seen a mobilization for missions like we have in the last couple of years. I mean, the stories that we're hearing in Japan are just amazing and astounding. Next week, we're going to share some stories. We're going to share some stories from Iraq. And I'm just highlighting this piece right now to say this is amazing kingdom things that God's using people in this community for. God's doing great things in our lives. God's doing great things through us. But I need to say that the enemy is not happy about that. And the enemy is after our lives and is after our ministries and after our hearts. And I just want to say for myself, but I say it for our church, there is no way I'm going to get tricked by the enemy into getting used to the darkness. How about you? There is no way that I would say, let's just let our church get used to the darkness. Like if I bring it back to the illustration with Silas, and we're just like, oh, I could see fine. This is great. You know, I'm used to it. There's no way that we would accept that as Christians. There's no way that we can accept that. So this is Christianity 101, right? But it's the enemy that's just blinding us. And we just get used to it. But this morning, I just want to call us, as Apostle John called the early Christians and started circulating this letter around. Let's not lie to ourselves. Let's be honest with ourselves. If there's areas in our lives that we need to make right with God, let's be honest about that. Let's be honest about that to God, because he's the only one that can pay for it. Let's also not even let our blind spots get us. Let's go to God and say, God, maybe I have a blind spot. Maybe I'm not aware. Maybe I got too accustomed to this world. God, I want to ask you to search my heart and examine my heart for sin. God, I want to have your word to examine my heart for sin. And then really, the greatest news of all, then confess it to God. Then let the heavenly transaction happen. That type of transaction does not happen in this world. That's why I just shared a little story with Jubilee. But we confess it to God and let Jesus pay for it, that we would be cleansed. Because you know what? That's the way forward, to be filled with the Spirit. We've been praying to be filled with the Spirit lately. But you know, really the step is to confess our sins and be clean so that we could be filled with a pure Holy Spirit, so that we could go out into this world and be the ambassadors of the light of Jesus. And we will be in the light as he is in the light, as this passage talks about, as Apostle John calls the early Christians, as God calls us. Let's come before the Lord and respond to God's word in prayer. One more thing, actually. In just a moment, I'm just going to give us a private time, several minutes, just private time to just respond to God's word. Let's be honest about our hearts. Let's ask God to search our hearts. Let's confess our sins. Let's get cleaned up. Let Jesus pay for our sins. And as we do that, we're going to sing a song that many of you are familiar with, "O Come to the Altar." Now, this is the chorus. "O come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ." These are not just steps to be cleaned up. It is that. Apostle John is saying, here's the steps to get cleaned up. But it's also an invitation into the presence of God. "Oh, come to the altar." This is the way into God's presence. It's coming into a place of confession and repentance before him. Let's come before the Lord and pray. And I'll ask the worship team if you can come up at this time. We're just going to take several minutes, maybe 3 or 4 minutes, just private response to the Lord. So you can just close your eyes. The worship team will sing, but you don't necessarily need to sing in this time, and it might not be helpful for you to sing during this portion. Just to connect with God. Take an honest look at your heart. And ask God to take an honest look at your heart. And that as the Lord illuminates some things, confess to God, tell him you're sorry. By the way, repentance means to turn. You confess to him, you acknowledge your wrongdoing, and you tell him,